Okay, 6 minutes past 11 on this Friday, and it's time for That's Entertainment in the company this week of the old reliables. Emphasis on the reliables. Michael Leddy, writer and blogger. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Greg.
Fanula Rabbit. How are you getting on, Fanula?
Hi.
Good to have you all on board. Good to have you on board wherever you're listening from today. So what are you watching? What are you doing? It doesn't have to be the telly. It doesn't have to be the cinema. It can be the stage. It can be podcasts. It can be a good book. We love books. Two big readers here in front of me. Mm. It could simply be your nice place that you like to go and have a walk. It's all entertainment, isn't it?
That's actually true.
Whatever it is. It's just about chilling. Katie owes me 7 hours so far for The Perfect Couple on Netflix. What a load of nonsense.
Oh, I couldn't do it. You're never getting those hours back.
No, it's just terrible.
Not even as a couple-y thing to sit down and watch?
Oh, certainly not that, no. It's just, I mean, it's a whodunit, but it's just, I don't know if it's supposed to be funny. I don't know if it's supposed to be camp. I don't know if the cops are supposed to be silly or it's just bad script writing or scenarios that would never really happen in the real world. I don't really want the hours back. You're fine. You can have them, Katie. But the point being is that, oh, God, I'd love to know if anyone else watched it and enjoyed it. It's such a commitment these days. You know, 8 episodes. I think I'm on to episode 7.
And it's I'm saying I watched a couple of things now and I think they're too short.
Yeah.
You know, you
but
start watching
can be
and
too
you're like,
long.
That's a great position to be in.
Yeah.
It's much better to stand up and go, oh man, I wish there was another hour or another episode.
The Jimenez Brothers program, Murder Monsters, that was way too long. That was way too long. That's a weird program. That's the other one that I watched.
That's right.
Ryan Murphy's thing,
I need something good to watch because those two things have been incredibly disappointing.
Have you watched the new season of Slow Horses?
No, I haven't watched any of the seasons of Slow Horses.
Oh my goodness!
And that's on your list.
It's amazing.
I think I got halfway through season one. This is about people that are effectively put on the naughty step.
Yes.
Isn't it? So talk us through Slow Horses and why is it so good?
Do you know the way it's one of those shows that's very hard to tell why it's so good?
Yeah.
I think it's just the combination of characters that are in it. And it actually gives you some depth into the characters, which, you know, I always like. I watched something recently and again, it was like 6 episodes. Now they were short. They were like half hour episodes. But I was like, the season was over by the time I actually gave any kind of
a really
fiddlers
sign,
about,
isn't it? Yeah.
You know, about the thing. So that was just kind of annoying to me. But with Slow Horses, you really get like this is the 4th season that started that's been on. They just dropped the last of it on Wednesday. They always give you a teaser at the end of the season for the next season that they're going to be. So thank God they've done a teaser now. So all going well with this season, they'll have to go ahead with the next one.
So is it a detective show or what?
No, basically it's like a spy thing.
Right.
So it's kind of the idea is like it's sort of a Tinker Tailor soldier spy, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. If you like that sort of thing. But they've kind of taken the traditional British spy and sort of program and kind of turned it on its head,
mm-hmm.
because these are people, as you say, that are on the naughty step. So there you have apparently there is such a place when you hear them talking about it, that there's this place called Slough House, and it's where MI5 agents who have either messed up big time or who have had personal problems that may make them vulnerable to blackmail and different things like that. So you get people who are like coming off a drug problem, may have a gambling problem, mm-hmm. different things like that. So they're very kind of real and kind of characters. Gary Oldman then plays the guy that runs it. He is quite possibly the most disgusting character you've ever seen in your whole life. He's just horrendous.
He doesn't wash.
He's just terrible. He's constantly scratching
himself. Is this why we're glad that Smell-O-Vision never caught on?
Oh, God, yeah. You definitely couldn't be in the same room as this guy. But they have just some amazing characters surrounding him.
And if this is a spoiler, obviously tell us. But do they come in, then they're actually really good, the rehabilitated move on and new characters come in, or is it the same characters for the most part throughout the whole 4 seasons or what?
It's like 24 in that people get killed off a lot.
Right, okay.
Yes, because, I'm just trying to bring up the cast here because there's a woman that's in it and she's absolutely amazing.
No, they're mostly quite incompetent. Like on a surveillance mission, it wouldn't be unusual for maybe the car to run out of petrol.
Yeah.
They're like, and then what? Oh, we're out of pet. What? But we're, you know.
So what happens is, in the first one that you've seen, which is far enough back that a lot of people would have seen.
I can actually start it from the beginning. 100%.
Yep. So they're given all of the kind of menial jobs. Mm. So they would be told now, like as in, okay, there's been a threat in London. And you're the top guy that might be doing the threat. Michael is the lowest on the list of people that might be doing the threat. They would follow Michael.
So why make you go through 2,000 hours of CCTV just to keep you occupied?
This kind of thing. Right, okay, so instead of being given the job, so the top guys will be following you because you're the head, you know, head person on the list.
I love the way you've structured our...
I feel it too. I feel it.
The way you've structured. I feel like, really?
I walked up the hill for this? I feel it.
But what happens to them then is it, like in the first one then, it turns out that while they're looking at the Michael character, it turns out there's a good chance that Michael might be the one that did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's from the first one. And that's
that is
how
the
they
first
kind
one,
of,
yeah. Yeah, going through the rubbish bins themselves. Of somebody... And then accidentally kind of finding something, this guy might actually be
the guy, and it might be something that we need, but they're not supposed to be really.
And nobody will listen to them. Like, how are they going to get anyone to listen to them? We actually found something, and they're like,
and it's been consistently good.
It's unbelievable how consistently good it is. Because even I was watching it this time round, and there was kind of like a story, and then there's an overarching, you know, there's a story within a story. There's lots of that kind of stuff going on in it. And I'd kind of seen one of the reveals sort of early on. So I was kept thinking to myself, well, maybe I'm done with it.
Yeah.
But then it showed me the little thing.
It's also worth saying.
I can't wait for next.
As well as the action and twists and so forth, it's also hilarious.
Yeah, there's some really funny bits.
It's hilarious.
The characters are really snarky to each other. Oh. Kristen Scott Thomas, I was just trying to say there, she plays... somebody who's very high up, who's very kind of traditional MI5 kind of a character. Mm. She's constantly trying to overthrow the government while screwing everybody behind her. You know, the way as in just throw...
Ruining the careers.
Just all about her. Exactly, just to get her own career
it's a different
forward.
Show
She's amazing.
Yes,
in
yes.
It.
That's not the show we're talking about.
All right, brilliant stuff. Top marks. I'll come back to you guys. I want to say good morning now to Des Bishop. He is making his first ever Sligo Festival appearance with his brand new live stand-up comedy show, Lately. It's in the Knocknarea Arena at the ATU in Sligo, and it's coming up this Thursday. It's coming up on Thursday, the 24th of October. Des Bishop, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
How are you getting
proper
on?
Proper morning for me.
Yeah, of course. Are you normally up at this time? I don't know how your gig schedule is or your sleep schedule or how all that combines.
Well, I'm in Ottawa, Canada right now.
Oh, are you?
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm properly on the road. So actually, I set the alarm for 6 a.m., but I actually woke up before the alarm. But I still have my morning voice and my morning eyes. This is the problem with the modern world. We are on Zoom, and on the email it said, and we used the video for social media. And I was like, oh God.
Listen, it's all about ticket sales, Des. And if it's those eyes that sell the tickets, we'll get those eyes on the screen. Come here, see the show Lately. Do you run the same show in different territories or do you tweak it for particular audiences?
Well, the biggest difference between my Irish shows and the rest of the world is most of my career has been in Ireland. So I have 25 years of material to pick from when I go anywhere else. When I go back to Ireland, I'm sort of promising a kind of a 90% new. I mean, the great thing about I'm doing a lot of touring in the States now. The great thing is I take some of these older jokes and actually they become something new and better. And it kind of makes me argue with myself about why did I turn over material as fast as I did, because you really can make these bits better. So there's a couple of bits in Lately that actually were from a long time ago in Ireland that are now like different and better, but you know, people might recognize some parts of it, but definitely the big difference between Ireland and the rest of the world is the Irish audience expect a new show, understandably.
Tell us about Lately then.
Well, I mean, there's nothing to Lately. Lately is just like the reason why. Well, first of all, I'm sure you've heard this from comedians before, but you know, you throw a title on a show, you have no idea what it's going to be. So Lately was ideal. Lately was like, what have you been up to lately? You know, I mean, you know, I got married since I've toured in Ireland, you know, because the pandemic really screwed up. I was touring a show about my mom, Mia Mama, and the pandemic screwed that up. So after the pandemic, I came back with Mia Mama, but obviously life was already like moving on by then. So I've just had a lot of a lot of things going on. America's crazy. I got married. A lot of things about Ireland I miss. You know, I end up with like a sort of a backpack of things that I can't.
You're conflating
really
two
talk.
Quite strange. It's usually a marriage and the state of U.S. politics. It's I presume that's just a coincidence of timing, or is there any correlation there?
Well, I mean, there's no correlation. The only thing is that my wife is a comedian too, as you know. So I just, because you know she's doing really well, I actually tell her to avoid that topic because it's so divisive in the United States, you know. And even though there's a smaller cohort in Ireland that are very like, you know, they're very pro-Trump, and that's fine. They're pro-Trump, and they're, but you know, the way the pro-Trump people can, they can be very aggressive, you know. And if you speak against Trump, it's like you're speaking against their mom, you know. It's like they have the same reaction as like when you're a kid, like, don't talk about my mother. So I encourage Hannah not to talk about that. But me in Ireland, I'm going to unload. I got a lot
good.
Of things to
say. We look
to
forward
say.
To that, actually. And you know, it's so current, and there's so much material there for you to use your talents in relation to this. Another obvious question, I suppose, come up in that, you know, you've done a lot of TV work, a bit of movie work as well, worked on different projects, different types of shows. I often wonder why stand-up comedians put themselves through it, because even with your status and, you know, with your following, there must be days you walk off stage and go, you know, it was an all right show, but bloody hell, I'm never doing that again. Like, what drives you to the stage, Des?
It's actually the opposite for me from what you just described. Like, one of the jokes I say here in the States is because, you know, like my wife, right? She's got this huge following. So I always get some of her followers at the show. And I say, to be honest, my wife is making so much money, I don't even need to be here. This is how much I love stand-up comedy. So I could actually, my hell would be not being able to do the live stuff. Yeah.
Do you know somebody what I need to me, I need to do is I need to stop listening to depressed comedians podcasts then, because that's my source material for some of these questions, Des.
Yes, but I understand that because that's a shtick that these guys put out, you know, this kind of miserable thing. And like, I always think when I listen to these guys, well, then don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, literally don't do it. But I've never been that way. And even if you look at me on stage, I'm very animated. Like, I really like being up there. So myself and all my closest friends in comedy, they love being up there. You know, the only thing that I don't like about it sometimes is night four of like traveling from place to place can be a little bit tiring, but that's just like all parts of somebody's job can be tiring. But I don't like a bad show. But like, I never walk off and be like, oh, I never want to do that again. Unless it's a corporate. Corporates, on the other hand,
yeah,
I can. They can,
and I like,
my soul,
you know, it's
sometimes
interesting actually the way you described it as almost like a feature of a comedian's personality. It actually begins to make sense. And do you know what's great too about modern Ireland and people like yourself too, really high profile, well known people, that you don't have to travel a million miles to see. You don't have to worry about booking a hotel in Dublin. You know, I think it's great. We have venues like that we have in Sligo, but even further northwest, you know, in Derry and in Letterkenny and in Ballybuffet. I know you're only getting up as far as Sligo this time round, but it's fantastic, I think, that we can see acts like yourself and other amazing acts. And as I say, we don't have to make that trip to Dublin or Belfast or wherever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, I've always done Letterkenny, love Sligo, love Derry. I've performed Asquelga in T. Hudie Bjugs. So, of course, I love... as my headphone fell out of my ear, I'm just having like a brain fart now, but there is another good... you said Ballybuffet, right?
Yeah, the Baller in Ballybuffet. Yeah, yeah. I did that for you, Des. I've got your back, bro.
Another great town. So anyway, I've always loved performing in the Northwest. You know, there was a time, would you believe, when I was a lot younger, that I slept in my car in Ross Nowla in between shows. Like, I don't know where I was. I think I was in Sligo. I was going up to Letterkenny. I don't know. In my mind, it was like, you gotta sleep in Ross Nowla, get up at the crack of dawn to get the best waves. And like, I woke up in the morning and there was no waves. Absolutely pointless.
You were unlucky.
But I wasn't, at the time, I wasn't that in the know about swell and all the things they go on about in Bundoran. So there was a time where I was like really northwesting it, but my back, my 48, nearly 49 year old back wouldn't be able to handle that night's sleep, I can tell you.
You talked about performing Osgeiliga. You've also learned Mandarin. You must have an ability to learn languages, clearly.
Well, I'll tell that to my Leaving Cert teacher when I scraped a D in past French. But I didn't when I was younger, but I really have an ability to put myself in ideal language learning environments. Living in Connemara for a full year with a goal of learning the Gaeilge, going into China for a full year, both times living with families that speak the language, all the time. Like, you're going to learn a language pretty quick. So I don't think I have a propensity for learning language. I think I have like an addictive mindset. So when you put me into one of those situations and they say, this needs to happen, then it becomes my everything. And then you can get that, you can achieve that goal in that short space of time. But no, I actually don't think that I don't think I have like any particular special talent. I just had a special situation.
All right, Des, you're going to be leaving Canada soon, heading back to Ireland and heading, including Knocknarea Arena at ATU in Sligo. Your audience knows you, but for those who are late adapters, what can they look forward to in the show, Des?
Well, I mean, for the late adapters, it's all fresh for you.
Which is good for you.
For the diehards. I mean, here's the thing. Sometimes I do a show that's like about my dead mom and it's themed and it's great, but it has like it's more theatrical. Then sometimes I do a show like lately, which is just bits. It's in your face. It's going to be fun. There'll probably be a bit of crowd interaction. So I think people are seeing me at my best because the American road, because I've started selling tickets now. I had a few virals on Instagram. So I'm selling some tickets over here. So the American road has actually made me a better comic. So I'm coming back. I'm coming back like Robbie Keane after playing an Inter Milan.
Listen, brilliant stuff. Des, thanks for your time this morning. Greatly appreciated. I'll say goodbye to you and remind people where they can get their tickets. God bless you. Take care. Lovely to chat to you. That's Des Bishop there. He is making his first ever appearance at Sligo Life Festival. It's his brand new stand-up comedy show lately. It's in the Knocknarea Arena at the ATU in Sligo on Thursday, the 24th of October. Tickets for Des Bishop's show are €33 plus fees. They're on sale now from sligolive.ie and Ticketmaster, or in person or by phone. You can ring the Hawkswell box office. All right, Des Bishop there. Right, we'll be back with more from Michael and Fionnuala after these. Thanks to Des Bishop for coming on the show there. Michael and Fionnuala, by the way, just to wrap up Slow Horses, full marks, I take it, from both of you, yeah?
10
yeah.
out of 10.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. 10 out of 10. Very good.
Troy Gallagher's in London. He messaged in, morning, just listening to Highland and the team chat about Slow Horses. Slow Horses London scenes are filmed mainly in my ward, Bunhill, and I get requests for approval for filming and road closures for filming and special letters to residents for the scenes where shots and trauma scenes are filmed. I can confirm requests have been made for filming of season 5. Little bit of local diaspora connection with Slow Horses, and the cast are so polite with crew and residents. So our own councillor Troy Gallagher over there is our inside man on the whole situation, confirming there. Plans for season 5
I was him, I would hold them over a barrel and I would insist that I get like a
part.
Cameo or some sort of a part. They have to find a way to get Troy into it. It'd be amazing.
Okay. Troy in Slow Horses. All right.
And one of them married Michael's very upset because the the guy that plays River married Michael's was to be Michael's girlfriend.
No. Nope. Not true.
Whose name? I've actually forgotten.
Saoirse Ronan.
He hasn't, has he?
No.
Broken Politicians, Broken Politics. Yes. It's a podcast you've been listening to.
Yes, it is, actually. And I'll tell you,
let's try and avoid the controversy of...
I know, that was brilliant. That was brilliant.
In fairness, I thought you were going to come to blows. I was going to separate you.
It was brilliant. It was referenced last week as well, actually, by one of the... Yeah, it was Kevin, I think. Can we do a 2-for-1? Because
you do a 3-for-1. I like a 2-for. But I like a 2-for.
Broken Politicians, Broken Politics is a BBC podcast that I listen to. And Nastiness is an RTE podcast I listen to. They cover the same ground. In fact, the BBC one inspired the RTE one, I think. Basically, what it looks at, the BBC one, to take it first, looks at the mental health crisis in British politics at the moment.
Amongst politicians.
Looking at the stresses they're under.
I have to bite my tongue here.
With regard to two MPs.
It's between 11 and 12 on Friday, Greg. It's between 11 and 12 on Friday, Greg.
Now, I'm sure they have the same mental health stresses.
Of course they do.
So it looks at two MPs having been murdered in recent years. It looks at the increasing level of death threats. It looks at the increasing amount of money being spent on police protection. It looks at the increasing amount of hate that is directed at individuals as regards people disagreeing with policies.
Yeah. The public discourse has completely changed.
It's completely changed.
It's not about, I don't like you, I'm not going to vote
and
for you.
And what do you think before I even... Yeah, but what do you think has lit the fire under it in the last 15 years? Social media.
Well, everyone has an opinion now and has a platform to express it on.
Yeah, so basically the BBC podcast, which is very good, looks at things from the mental health point of view, looks at the lack of support. There's no support for politicians. There's no
support. The problem when there are podcasts like this, and Fionnuala quite rightly pointed out, all of these people are human beings. Mm-hmm. All of these people have the same issues that many of us face. The problem is I think for the public, especially in this day and age, and maybe it is because of social media, is that particularly those that are in government parties, the immediate reaction from people can be, well, now you know what it's like for us because you're not funding mental health services properly.
Very good.
And they will talk about, I've got a child who's 12 years of age and has been seeking mental health supports for 8 months, and I'm concerned some harm might come from them. And what we're in now is, whereas that was never said previously, it probably was there, but people have a platform to say it. Now people don't really want to hear how tough it is for politicians because the people say, well, now you know what it's like for us.
Yes.
And that's where it gets confusing in this day and age.
Yeah.
No, I can see that side of it, but I have to, you have to think, and I know I'm getting knee-deep now in this controversy. It's going to end up like last week.
Yes.
Which is...
2 weeks ago.
We have to think about, from my point from this, and not take away from the podcast, is what are we doing?
Well, it's crazy. I don't like it. Do we not want people to...
become part of our government? Should we not aspiring and have our children to aspire to be part of?
They're saying where change one of the things happen, that comes out in both of these happen. One of the things that comes out on both of these shows is that it's now becoming less and less likely that younger people will choose any sort of political career as an option, because the baggage that goes with it is very off-putting.
And we're seeing it here, and I think the problem is it's not about debate and discussion and deselecting people. We've seen it in Britain, as you mentioned, the two very tragic cases, and there is a genuine sense that in this country, what the end result of all of this is that one person tries to kill someone.
Yes.
Or does successfully kill someone.
That,
that's where eventually...
Yep.
That's how it culminates.
Well, that's the fear.
And another thing that comes up in the BBC one, and then I'll switch to the RT one, is they speak at great length to an MP who attempted suicide. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, obviously unsuccessfully, he was found in time by his family, and he talks about his journey in great detail in this podcast, in the Broken Politics one. Yeah. So that's the stance that takes.
I just wish the world was a little bit different. You see, there are going to be two people that listen to that podcast. It's going to be person A, who understands it's a tough job, who would do it, we need politicians.
Yes.
And they're going to be very sympathetic to it.
Yes.
And then there's going to be person B, whose opinions are going to be somewhat aligned to what I mentioned earlier, and will not see the person, and they'll just disregard it immediately.
Oh, yeah, of course,
because we seem to be so polarised on all of these issues.
Oh, yeah, it's a big...
But still, they're worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The RTE one, I think, is a better programme in the sense that it casts the net a bit wider. So it looks at, it interviews the producer of the BBC show, which is very interesting. It also
introduced the producer of Broken Politics, Broken Politics.
Yeah, because it's an older show. So they talk about the fact that, and they interview, the inspiration for the BBC one was an Australian report. Mm-hmm. So they interview the lady in Australia who talks about Australian politics and the situation in Australia.
Yes.
And they also interview a woman who is a TD here in Ireland, and we talk about her situation. Her situation it really drives it home because she's a woman, and she's very much on the pro-immigration, and she's on those pro-integration side of things. She will get, first of all, she talks about somebody threatening to rape her.
Yeah.
That's how they respond to her views.
Yes.
She talks about going on holiday and having to explain to the Gardaí that she's going to be away because she lives with two elderly parents.
Yes.
And she knows that people will at times come to her house.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't want her parents dealing with that. So she talks about the situation she's in. There's also a man who, a rural TD, comes up from Mallow. He talks about his situation. In his family, there's a history of being in politics. And he really clarifies how different it was for his father 25 years ago. There was disagreement,
yes,
but nobody threatened your life.
Yeah, I get you. But you know what else they, I think happens as well is with politicians, and you see it, is that because of the way the world is going, I think then what can happen is politicians can surround themselves with a support structure, right, that to some extent potentially could insulate them from the real world, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, what we do as humans, we try and protect ourselves, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you surround ourselves with people that are saying, don't listen to what they're saying. You've done this and you're great and you're doing that and the other. And I think then what can happen, you can be detached then from the work that you're trying to do in some cases. Mm. It's fascinating.
Oh, I think that's exactly the road that we're going to end up going down if we stay have to. The way they're
and
going.
And the last...
I mean, they're going to have to move into protected estates.
Mm.
Like, if things, if to things be go safe, the way they're going, if you wanted to become a politician in 10 years' time, if we keep going down the road, we're going to have like have a housing estate in Dublin where the politicians live with their families.
Are behind security, behind security.
Because but people showing up to people's personal homes with their children there and stuff like that. I mean, who would go into it?
Mm. And a change of government, and we've seen in other European countries as well where, let's just say, for instance, more right-leaning parties have got into power. And I'm not attributing this abuse to any area of politics because from what I've seen, it's everywhere.
Oh,
right?
It's everywhere. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop. It just changes onto the people that are in power then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the focus.
As in, in Phoenix Park or something, we'll end up beside the president's house. We'll have to build 100 or 300 houses and say, well, there you go. Now that's where all the politicians are going to live. And they'll never know what the price is.
But the last part of the RTE one, which I also liked a lot, is the RTE one is a really good documentary, in my opinion. They moved away from the politicians and they looked at the support staff.
Mm.
So within the support staff, who are not in any way known, their names are not out there, they're simply, and it's the point is made that they're often on a very low wage, that they're often on schemes, they're also brought in for various things. They get an unparalleled torrent of hatred directed at them all day, every day. And one guy talks about what it's like for him to go home at the end of the day having read... Yeah. Obviously, some of the correspondence is well-mannered.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is absolutely hate-filled.
But some would say it would never match the experience of the public. And it's a circular thing. So in relation to having listened to both of these, it entertained you, but serious subject matter, but it kept you engaged,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally engaged me.
But did it change your view in any way whatsoever, or did it confirm any particular bias that you already
had? That's a great question, Greg. It confirmed my bias as regards the impact social media is having and the age we live in. And one last point I will make about that came up in the RTE one was the people, it was the guy from Mallow said that a letter would have been sent into a TD years ago and people would wait a few days to hear back. Now they send an email in the morning and they expect an immediate response. And if you don't respond immediately, certainly within 24 hours, they are angry. I emailed you this morning. Can you get this sorted?
Yes.
And that confirms my bias, to answer your question, that we live in an age where all these things are possible, but are we ready for it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's fascinating and it opens up questions and conversations and would make for a good podcast of our own, potentially.
Exactly. And both of these are on Spotify. One's on the RT website as well, one's on the BBC website. And they're good, smart.
I think, the one thing, and this can be anything, TV, music or current affairs, is to get yourself into an echo chamber. It's terrible because firstly it's kind of boring.
Yeah,
I think it's nice to get different views, different perspectives, and then challenge them in your own mind and come up with your own. Because what happens now is we find one source that we trust, right? That's what often happens. We find one source that we trust, and all the information is filtered through that person. That means that everything that person say is gospel.
Yes,
but that person is putting everything out, right? And then they say, even if it's not true, it's something that needs to be looked at. Do you know what I mean? So it's all fascinating. It's all covered in Nastiness from RTE. It's a podcast. And Broken Politicians, Broken Politics, also a podcast, and sparks an interesting conversation about where we are going to go, and are we looking at political communities because it's just not safe to do it in the wider
community. Democracy is under threat. They actually say
democracy is, we know it, but then others would say, you know, the democracy that runs the world the way it wants to be run is under threat.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And here we
Surely all sides have to agree that it's under threat. In the sense of, I appreciate that people have different stances on what democracy means and should mean. But if we reach a point, I mean, I was listening to, even Mary Lou was on, who is often, her party, as we say, as a whole, has been sometimes been accused of being some of the people that are rocking up to people's houses and that kind of thing that they can't have. So you're, but even she was on talking about how awful it is for their, for them, for their families, for, you know, their young people that they're trying to get into it, that, you know, the impact it's is across the board. And I think surely, regardless of what side you're on, you have to think this is going to be
negative. It's on social issues as well. I was watching a video of a 14-year-old girl in America, not getting into this conversation, but she was speaking. She spoke out publicly because she was running in a race, and she came second behind, as she described him, a biological boy, a transgender athlete, right? And she spoke out and she says, look, it's not fair. I've trained all my life. And that's not the conversation we're having here. But it's actually any public speaking at all, because her and her family,
of course,
have been effectively chased out of their house. Death threats and all that type of stuff. Yep. So rather than saying, right, that's a point of view, discuss.
It's instantly that
they've suffered threats and intimidation and they have to move out of their house for a while. So it's not even politics, actually.
Yeah.
It's if you stick your head above the parapet on anything.
The idea that you could disagree with someone and not have them run them out of town seems to be like old hat now. You have to run them out of town or you're not disagreeing with them. And that comes up, they talk about in the RT one about the olden days of the politicians speaking after mass. And yeah, there'd be, you know, there'd be debate and there'd be the opposition.
But in the absence, but it wasn't that you a personal are heading, attack. In the absence of discourse, conversation, meeting of minds, you are heading towards dictatorship in one form or another.
Of course,
because that would be it's fascinating. And go ahead. Yeah,
I was going to say, and it's horrendous that, again, take it right back to the start of that RT one, that if you were going on holiday, you'd have to alert the Gardaí that your elderly parents would be alone for a week. And you were afraid someone might come to the house and be aggressive with your parents. What's it going to do with your parents?
Exactly. All right. Brilliant stuff. That's Nastiness podcast and Broken Politicians, Broken Politics, both listened to this week by Michael Leddy, writer and director. We're going to be back with another review from Fionnuala after we take this break. It is That's Entertainment. It is the 9 till noon show. We were talking earlier on about 2-for-1s. What about this one? We're heading now to Sean Laverty, who is a director, speaking to us ahead of a captivating night of theatre as Butt Drama Circle and Ballet DCA present 2 one-act plays, A Matter of Rights and The Wife, Her Cat and All the Other Stuff in the Ballet Theatre next Friday, the 18th of October, and on Saturday, the 19th of October, 2024. Sean, good morning to you. And this follows on, I suppose, from a successful one-act drama circuit last year in October.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me. Yes, it does indeed. Yes, we had a very successful run last year at the All-Ireland Circuit. We got second in the All-Ireland Finals in the open section last year. So, yeah, we're excited to be back this year with another play from the same writer.
Yes, Conor Malone, his talents have no end, A Matter of Rights and The Wife. That's on Friday, Saturday as well. Both acts are on both nights, is that correct?
They are indeed. Yeah. This year we've partnered up with our colleagues in the Ballard DCA and they've produced the other play, The Cat and His Wife, and that's going to be directed by Kieran Quinn and it's starring Letter Kenny's very own Andy McGranahan.
Yeah, The Matter of Rights and Wife, it tackles, current issues too. It's fresh.
Yes, The Matter of Rights is set against the backdrop of the current kind of immigration situation here in Ireland. Of course, not here in Ireland, UK, Europe, and of course across the pond in America. It's very prevalent there at the moment with the run up to the presidential elections. We're tackling that subject, and it's a difficult subject to tackle at the moment given the current situation. But I think Conor's managed to give a very balanced play about it. covering both sides of the argument, you know.
So yeah, I think, and I think really that's where the arts come into its own too sometimes. That stars, as I say, it's by Conor Malone, stars J.C. Bonner and Mickey McMahon, two very talented actors. The Wife or Cat and All the Other Stuff by Brian Walsh sounds intriguing too.
That was produced a couple of years ago, actually, by the Ballard ECA as well, and it actually starred Conal Gallen a few years ago. It was pre-pandemic. So when we decided to do the one act this year, the director, Kieran, asked me if we wouldn't mind putting the two together for just a night of theatre. So, yeah, Andy's had a very successful outing with that at the moment there. He did it for Culture Night there in Dillon's Hotel in Letterkenny there a few weeks back. And he was received very, very well. And the play was received very, very well as well. One-man show, very difficult to do. Very intimidating for an actor. But he's doing a really, really good job in that there. So I haven't seen it myself yet. I'm kind of waiting until opening night to get the full view of it. So I'm looking forward to seeing Andy on stage.
And if you book your ticket for either Friday or Saturday, the 18th or 19th from 8 p.m, you get both shows?
Both shows, both nights, yeah.
Brilliant,
yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely,
excellent.
Yeah.
All right, that's two shows in one night, A Matter of Rights in the Way and The Wife by Conor Malone, The Wife, Her Cat and All the Other Stuff by Brian Walsh. Brilliant actors involved in that as well. And it's all next Friday, next Saturday night, 2 for 1, 18th and 19th from 8 p.m. The tickets available right now from Bala Box Office, 913-1840, and from balaartcentre.com. Sounds like it's going to be great fun. Sean, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it. Okay, we're going to clear the decks, take our penultimate break, and we're back with Fionnuala and Michael. I woke up this morning and it was dark, but also that nice autumnal feel. You know, the Christmas where you were almost like, shall I get the hat?
I was at home last night and the electricity went off.
I know it did.
Everybody in Letterkenny should know. The electricity went off for about, probably was about 3/4 of an hour. But I was about to ring my mummy to come get me. It was just starting to get cold. I was halfway through cooking the dinner. I was like, okay, this is not working out for me.
If it'd be me, I'd be like, please don't leave me alone with my thoughts. Please don't leave me alone with my thoughts.
The Wi-Fi wasn't working properly. I was like, oh God, this is a disaster.
Yeah, because some of the, it started out, I think, in Glenveagh. And things were switched around, and then there was power surges, and then eventually something blew in Glencar.
Yeah.
But it affected Milford North as well. Mm. It's amazing, actually, they can just redirect power. You know, so Milford was on first, they were able to redirect it around Letterkenny. And it's all done remotely. But then the teams went out and fixed the problem. Right, so what do you want to pick out from this list? What's current or what's, this could be good for the weekend,
just
folks?
Because I was talking about slow horses, which is kind of a detective-y thing, I might as well stay on that. Last week I mentioned, George Gently had come to Inspector George Gently, the really kind of soft and gentle... Mm. Had come to Netflix, and I apologise, I said there was only like three
series. That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we were together last Friday.
Oh, I forgot that. So, and I was saying about George Gently, and I said there was only three series, but it actually turns out there's like about five, I think, or something, which I totally watched and didn't realise it. So there
what?
You go.
You didn't fact check?
I know.
That never happened before for Fionnuala.
I know, I'm normally so on it. But
we need to stop you listening to podcasts.
There's a couple of new... There's a couple of new ones that are on at the moment that I'm really enjoying. And one of them is, if anybody's aware, drama has now become you drama. I don't know what that means.
Now they've done you day, you drama, you...
I don't know. Have they all been bought out or what the hell the story is? But it's now you drama. But in you drama's defence, they have really improved... their TV programs.
Right, okay, cool.
And they're showing some really good... Because I used to always be going to Alibi for the old reliable...
Yes.
And sadly, Alibi is going the other direction and picking up American stuff that's only like one series long.
I think you have Sky, right? You don't have to watch them scheduled, can you?
You can do both.
You can access you drama whenever suits you, yeah?
Yeah, for anything that's already been aired.
Yes, of
sometimes,
course.
Yeah, sometimes yeah, right. you can't, yeah.
But okay.
You can go back and you can catch up with you drama because it's on, I think it's like 165 or something
yes,
like that.
I think it is.
It's number 165. But you can get it on the Now. You can get it on if you have Virgin Media. So there, you can get through the You Watch or You Watch Back or whatever it's called.
It begins with you anyway, as everything they're doing does.
You TV and then see what happens. But what they have got is they've got a new one that starts
up. Last thing you should do is stick in You TV and see what happens, because obviously You TV will come up for you.
I don't know, does You TV own all these now? I think they might. I think
no,
you
do they? You TV is Ulster Television.
Yeah, it's just part of
I know, but I think it's part of that You
wow.
I think
the U brand.
UTV is.
Well, how else will they do it? Because U is what, when you think U, you think UTV.
Okay.
You think that everywhere,
right?
Don't
there you?
Go. That just
do you?
I always assume they're interconnected, but maybe I'm wrong.
I.
But anyway, back onto what I was.
Be that as it may.
Be that as it
there
may.
There are two things
fact
that are on.
Check,
they
fact
have
check,
started to do check. A lot of very kind of soft detective programs in that kind of a George Gently, in that sort of yes. a Vera, in that kind of a feel for it. And some of them are great, some of them are terrible. But there's a one that's going on now. It's been going on for the last couple of years, I think. And now there's another series that will be starting soon. But it's The Chelsea Detective.
I've heard
and,
of this.
Yeah, so The Chelsea Detective. And it's literally just a detective series set in Chelsea.
Wow,
shocker.
I could put that together. I've never
London.
Seen an episode.
And But Adrian Scarborough, who I cannot tell you exactly what he's been in.
Chelsea Detective.
That, well, he's in Chelsea Detective. But he's in, and actually he was in Gavin and Stacey. He was the neighbour next door, Pam's next door neighbour's husband. But if you look him up, you will think, oh my God, I've seen this man
What's
in so
his
many
name
things.
Again?
Adrian Scarborough.
Okay, go ahead, yeah.
And he's in so much stuff. But he's very good in it. He plays kind of the lead detective. And so far in every series that they've had, he's had a new sidekick in this second series that's on at the moment. There's a young Irish girl that's playing his sidekick in it, and she's very good in it. It's over two shows, so it's an hour and a half and an hour and a half. But it's done over two
like Dalgleish. Dalgleish is okay.
So it's done same way as that's the way Gently was done and that kind of thing as well. So it's done over the two shows. They're an hour and a half each. They're very entertaining. You'll definitely stay with them, and they're just kind of you're not going to get caught with the gore and that kind of thing. But the actual mysteries and that kind of thing are a little bit will keep you entertained and will keep you thinking. There's a lot of characters in it, and also you do get kind of bits of insights into his life and that kind of thing as well. It is. It's an
interesting one. The Chelsea Detective.
The Chelsea Detective.
Okay,
and it's on New Drama. It's a good one to check out. They're re-showing all of Silent Witness. They're re-showing a lot. If you're into those kind of shows, there's a lot of good shows that are coming up on that. And the other one then is on BBC, which is Ludwig, which Michael recommended to me last week. And I spent the whole week scouring it, trying to find it. And lovely. BBC have started again at the beginning, so you can still watch it. And it's Ludwig with David Mitchell and Anna Maxwell-Martin. People again may not.
I like David Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. He's so good
like
in this.
So good, yeah.
And Anna Maxwell-Martin, people may not recognise her name, but again, you
very
see
busy.
Her, you're going to know her straight away.
Very
and
busy.
She was in Motherland. She was one of the leads in that Motherland that came out a while ago on Netflix. But again, she's even her voice, if you heard her speak, you'd be like, oh God, yeah, I've seen her in loads of stuff. She's been in loads of different things. And
she's
it's
great.
Very good. It's based on the fact that...
Oh, Dave, yes, she's,
you've just seen
she's
her in
Line of Duty and
yes, she's just
she's
been...
She's very
in,
distinctive.
Yeah, she's one
she
of these English actresses that just kind of shows up all over.
Code 404, the Stephen Graham show about the cop who's kind of being augmented. She was the wife.
Oh.
Right, okay. So what channel's that on?
That one is on BBC.
And it's called?
It's called Ludwig, and it's loosely based... It's based around the idea that David Mitchell is a twin, and that one of his twin, he is the nerdy, crosswordy one.
Okay.
And
he's posing as his brother, the detective.
Just a quick message to say the entertainment section on Friday is great. Really good TV recommendations. Watch The Split under your recommendations, and it was great. Thanks. Lovely. Thanks for the feedback.
Excellent.
Michael, you're busy this weekend in 20 seconds. What are you doing?
Tomorrow night, there's 3 one-act plays in On Green End Theatre. Tickets are selling out. I directed one of the plays.
Not your debut, is it? No.
It's my Donegal debut as a director.
Right, okay,
I directed
cool.
before, but not here. And you got 3 different shows on the one night. In On Green End, and I know
that's this weekend. So,
tomorrow night,
effectively,
tomorrow.
You can get 5 shows over 2 weekends in 2 great
We
theaters.
Are blessed.
Brilliant.
Seriously, being serious, that is an amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's
okay.
fantastic.
Listen, concert. Michael, thank you I love the way all of a sudden you're serious when it's something you're talking about that you're interested in. Anyway, listen, that's besides the point. Fanula Rabbit, thank you very much indeed. Michael
thank
Lely,
you.
Thank
pleasure.
You so
pleasure.
Very much indeed. And a big thank you to all of you for listening. Thanks so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Have a fantastic weekend and have fun if you can. And we're back with you Monday morning from 9:00.